Following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Daryl Padgett, driver of the number 46 Wells Brothers Farms Ford, and you're listening to Joe Dirt and Billy on Dirt World.
No matter what, get out and see some dirt racing. Get some dirt on your face.
Get some dirt on your dog.
Yeah, dirt on your dog.
Absolutely. With Billy the Kid, my name is Joe Dirt, Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com.
And it is 7:30 Wednesday night, and that means it's time for Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid, Dirt World.
Absolutely. Jack Smith, thank you so much from the beautiful west coast of Florida. We're over here on the east side, and we certainly thank all of you that have taken time out of your Wednesday night to join us for our Wednesday night Dirt Talk Show. It is called Dirt World, and with Billy the Kid, as always, I'm Joe Dirt, here to take your emails, find out where perhaps you went this weekend, where you're going this upcoming weekend, and of course, we got a lot of great talent that will come our way tonight. Of course, a lot of good information. Billy, how's your love life? I got a little Robert Cray for the open for you. Nothing but a woman. It'll mess you up.
Man, everything's great with me, dude. We had a big night at Ocala Speedway Friday night. We had AC Sprint Cars, and Kenny Adams was a big winner, and he'll be a guest. He'll be our first guest out in the box tonight. And then traveled up to Golden Isle Speedway for the National 8 Mile Sportsman Series 40-lap 5,000 to win show. Or actually, it was 3,000 win, my bad. Got a little late start. Get started till around quarter to nine, and rained on them a little bit. But we'll have the winner of that show on the be second on the air with us tonight, Daryl Padgett out of Jacksonville, Florida. And then last but not least, we'll have Saturday night's ASCS winner, Sport Allen, around 8:30.
Absolutely. Going to be a good program, as always. And, Billy, I want you to talk extensively about your trip to Golden Isles on Saturday. Of course, weather kind of took a turn for the worst as the night progressed. Nonetheless, a few decisions were made over there that perhaps you would have done different, but we'll talk about that in detail tonight.
Yeah, it was a little bit strange, but we'll touch on it a little bit and move on from that.
Absolutely. Want you to be a part of the program tonight, folks. It's simple to do. All you have to do is log on to your Yahoo and email us at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. Once again, that's dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. Perhaps you want to ask Kenny Adams a question, maybe congratulate him. Daryl Padgett, of course, if you want to get into his head tonight, it's simple to do. Just email us at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. And, of course, Sport Allen, really taking it to him on Saturday night at East Bay Raceway Park. And perhaps you'd like to talk to Sport Allen. But love you to be a part of the program tonight, folks.
You know, touching off and starting out, if you missed Ocala Friday night, man, what a huge night. 34, 35 sprint cars strong. Very good field of sprint cars. One of my favorite sprint car drivers came in from Tennessee, Terry Gray. And I told everybody before it got started, you better keep an eye on this guy. And he ended up second. He drove up the second. I think he started like fifth or sixth. But, you know, without a doubt, one of the best sprint car shows I've seen in a little bit of time. And racetrack was beautiful for him, and they was passing two and three wide.
And there was a little bit of apprehension, perhaps, how a little Ocala Speedway would do with alcohol burning, you know, 360s with the O'Reilly ASCS. But you guys, you shined like a star. It was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, what better words can you have than Kenny Adams? You know, Kenny was just so many accolades to that racetrack. Certainly he's in victory lane, so, you know, what is he going to say? But you know, he's very happy with the condition of that racetrack.
You know, the funny thing was is that they were there earlier in the season, and we were just spectators, me and you. We went up to watch it. And, you know, the cushion, they ran out of cushion. And it was funny because me and Bryn Gaughan and Matt Tiffany and another young driver, I want to say it was Kurtz, but I don't think it was Kurtz, Friday night was standing on the racetrack, and we were talking about that night. And it was funny because Bryn Gaughan said, yeah, Matt Tiffany was so far out in front, I couldn't even see him. And the kid started shaking his head, and he goes, how could he be so far out front on this little place? And I told Brent, I said, I was here that night, and I said, yeah, I will tell you this one. You was coming off turn four. Matt Tiffany was in Tampa. That's how far out in front he was. But Brent Gone said, I looked up. The yellow came out. I looked up, and Tiffany was in the fence. Tiffany blew a right rear tire, leading the race with about three laps to go last time. And that's where they were standing on the racetrack talking about that, and it was pretty neat. But, yeah, this time the racetrack, not saying it was different for them the first time, but, you know, you live and you learn. I mean, this was like the second or third weekend, and it was new for them up there. And it was pretty neat. The racetrack's been real good the last few weeks, and we're looking forward to this week, which is the last night of racing for Ocala Speedway for the season.
Absolutely. Billy, I'm on dirtworldracing.com. You had mentioned you wanted me to go here. Talk about these diecasts. What's going on?
Something that we announced last week is...
Wait, I don't see them. That's why I'm asking you.
I don't know. Jackson.
Oh, here we go. Nope. Sorry. Jackson. Sorry, Jack. Oh, yeah, they're here. Unbelievable.
Yeah, the pictures of the diecasts are up on Dirt World Racing. What is that, Dirt World Show?
This is dirtworldracing.com, and click on the big red letters on top of Billy's beautiful headshot there, and it says, check out the diecast. Click on it, and here is Billy the Kid's diecast center. You got Scott Thompson's old race car, of course, driven by Patrick Williams, Andy Schell's race car. Here's Rich Pratt's zero entry. Of course, Dave Barber's new number 56. Ivan and Lloyd's number 21. There's Mark Whitener's car. Bo Allen, one of the best-looking diecast I think you've done. Of course, Sean Smith's new number 17. Really cool, man. Looks good.
That's just some of the ones that we sent over to Jack. Some of the pictures I had didn't come out, but we take pictures every time. And something we talked about last week, if you want a car of your favorite driver, if it's something that Doughboy has done, I can do it for you, and make a great Christmas gift. Or, you know, if you want to order 5 or 10 of your car or whatever, and he doesn't do your graphics, if you send me pictures of all three sides, there may be an artwork charge, but it's well worth it once you get on there and check them out. I mean, they are really neat. Had a guy email me last week, Ron Thomas actually emailed me. He was looking for a Josh Richards car, which I found him one, just waiting to hear back from him. But Christmas is coming, you know what I mean? So we'll go from there.
Man, what better gifts can you give the race fan and your family, or perhaps even a driver? You know, many of these drivers have kind of gotten on board, Billy, and you got a nice program going with these guys to where they're actually duplicating their race cars down to a 1/24th scale diecast, and, you know, they're ordering, you know, several at a time.
There's no picture of the Clegg car on there, and there's no picture of the Lawton car on there, and there's no picture of the new Jason Davis car on there. The new Jason Davis car will be on there next week, and coming next week will be the Johnny Collins car from this year. That's going to be a hot item.
Can you expand upon that? I was able to see a sneak peek of that thing on Monday.
That's
unbelievable. Can you talk about it?
That's next year's car for Johnny Collins. This Doughboy's already done it for him. He's already done, he's actually worked on the graphics for four cars, and I will just tell you this, and you've seen it, and I show it to you because we're buddies, but asked not to show anybody, but that Johnny Collins car is unbelievable.
Yeah, this is a must-have.
The car that I'm doing for Johnny, will say United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series 2008 champion on the rear deck lid, and it'll be this year's car, not next year's car, but it'll be this year's car that he just raced in this season. And
I'll tell you what, I'm going to throw a little something out here. Johnny Collins, I don't think he's going to mind, but it's going to be an obscure reference. Here's a little hint of this race car. And those of you, this will show my age, and those of you that were watching this program early Saturday morning when you were a child.
Collins the Train?
No. No! They do call him the locomotive, obviously, but Conjunction Junction.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say.
No. I will tell you this. When people see it, it will turn your
it's
head,
awesome, man.
And you'll look twice, but it is awesome. Another awesome job by Doughboy Science and Graphics, and he's got some designs already done for some drivers next season and getting things going, but it'll be pretty neat.
Cool stuff right there, no doubt about it.
I'll say thanks to Jack Smith for setting that up for me, and we'll go from there, you know?
Excellent. Well, Volusia Speedway Park is in action this Saturday night, running against the Governor's Cup at New Smyrna Speedway, and, of course, South Georgia Motorsports Park with their big Southern Series. They'll be in action CRA cars up there. But on the dirt, we'll be back in action at Volusia. We've got five divisions. Of course, the late models, the modifieds will be back in action. The street stock division, we, of course, will have the sportsman division and the mini stock. So we're looking forward to that. Grandstands will open at 5 racing at 7:30. Now, the winners of each of the respective divisions out there, these guys will automatically have a bid in the 3-night December Holiday Convention Classic. So that's kind of cool.
had a pretty neat deal, $1,500 to win the late model Saturday night at Volusia Speedway Park. It'll be a 25-lap feature, nothing special, no entry fee. Also, $600 to win the mods, I believe $500 to win the sportsman, and so on, move on down from there. But it's going to be pretty neat. I think there's a lot of things against us, but we shall see. I know I talked to Bo Allen. We talked to Padgett, who's going to be on our show in a little bit. He's going to come down and run with us, and Bo Allen will be in town the race. But also, too, the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is having their banquet on Saturday night, so we'll lose their probably top 15 drivers.
Sure.
And, you know, it'll still be neat, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be all right. I mean, those guys, wish them the best, and they're going to have a great time Saturday, November 22nd, of course, at the Peabody Hotel in Orlando. So, I mean, Ken's going to do that right, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty neat deal. And last time I talked to him, he said he sold a boatload of tickets, so that's what he's looking for. And they're going to have a good time, man. Anytime you're going to go to a banquet, you're going to have a good time, you know.
Be a part of the program here tonight, and you can do that by emailing us at dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. dirtworldshow@yahoo.com. Still to come here tonight, Kenny Adams, the Malabar Missile. We'll talk to him. Of course, like you mentioned, Darrell Padgett and Sport Allen. We saw Kenny Adams. It's been a couple years since we've seen him, but the last time I saw him at Volusia, it was actually with Pete Walton's group, the United Sprint Car Series.
Yeah, it was pretty neat Friday night. When they showed up, we had a great crowd, a great car count. And also, the big announcement was made Friday night that January 29th, 30th, and 31st, Ocala Speedway will host the O'Reilly Southern All-Stars, or the Riley All-Star Circuit of Champions Sprint Car Series, 4/10.
That's a Guy Webb's deal. And, Billy, we were talking off the air. Guy Webb has actually put a late model deal together. Talk about that.
Yeah, Guy Webb actually bought a late model series from a guy we know very well, Dean Miracle. He bought Dean Miracle's late model series, and he's going to travel it around. And, you know, they were talking about maybe trying to make a trip to Florida, but I don't know that's going to happen. But we are excited about the O'Reilly All-Star Circuit of Champions coming to Ocala Speedway. And as well, they were mentioning Saturday night or Friday night that putting together a big block show, too.
Oh, see, there you go. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Now you're talking. To be able to bring them big blocks through the forest, get them into the central part of the state where so many people have not had an opportunity to see an Advanced Auto Parts Super Dirt Series race car, that will be exciting.
It's going to be awesome. I mean, you get them a little bit closer.
What are your dates on that, Bill?
I don't know. We're talking about the following Tuesday or whatever.
We're talking February 09. I mean, there's no
we're
doubt.
Yeah, we're talking about we start racing the big blocks at Volusia on a Wednesday. They're talking about the Tuesday night before.
Man, wonderful.
Maybe Monday, Tuesday, but for sure that Tuesday night, probably.
That is cool. Of course, you talked about the late model series that Guy Webb now owns, and that was the old IRS, the Independent Racing Series, I think he called it. Pretty neat deal. And Dean Miracle, of course, we talked about him a couple of weeks ago with his story in the latest Dirt Late Model, you know, talking about Dean and his achievements. But Dean now owns a racetrack up in Ohio, and I think he's ready to settle down. The guy, you know, he wears his heart on his shoulder, there's no doubt. He worked so hard, and I think he's ready to settle down. But I just wanted to be clear and want the record to show that late model deal was very successful in the two short seasons that he had it.
Oh, we said it last week, and a lot of people don't realize it, but Dean was one of the masterminds behind the World of Outlaw late models. We had this discussion. You got to remember, the first 2 years, he was the runner. He ran the late model World of Outlaw late model series for, you know, Dirt Motorsports.
Absolutely.
You know, and people don't understand that. Dean is a well-established guy. He learned, or he worked on the Earl Baltus forever.
Sure
he's worked at Eldora forever, and let's face it, Eldora is the premier dirt track in the country. I don't care what you think.
No,
I like Lowe's Motor Speedway, don't get me wrong, and Volusia Speedway Park is my home, but you got to understand,
Eldora
is the bomb.
It's the big E.
You know, and then you got, and being able to work there, and this tells you it's the credibility to the guys. When Tony Stewart bought the place, that's the first thing he asked Dean, would he come back and help him get it going? That tells you a lot right there. You know, so, I mean, the guy knows what he's doing. He knows where he's been. And it's great to see Dean settling down a little bit, and I hope everything's going good for him.
We'll see what happens with him. I'll tell you what, we are just about ready to step back for a moment, and we will grab our first caller and first guest on Dirt World here tonight. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back with the Malabar Missile. We'll be right back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Dishonest Cable TV Hooker Upper.
Mr. Dishonest Cable TV Hooker Upper.
On any given day, somewhere between 9 and 4:30, you arrive ready to bring us the world. And for an extra 20, you'll bring us porn.
Naughty, naughty boy.
Hey, you've already got the van and the jumpsuit. Why not get into criminal activity?
Just a naughty boy.
After all, what are they going to do? Throw you in cable jail? So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, manhandler of the Scrambler, because isn't it about time someone hooked you up?
Mr. Desiris, cable TV hooker
up. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is Lawton Minshew, number 23. We're down here in East Bay. We're on Dirt World with Billy the Kid and Joe Dirt.
CarNac.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarNac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarNac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarNac gets it done.
Time to get back to the action with Joe Dirt, Billy the Kid. This is Dirt World.
Thank you so much, Jack Smith. It is Dirt World, our Wednesday night installment right here on DirtWorldRacing.com and, of course, RealRacingUSA.com with Billy the Kid every Monday night. I'm Joe Dirt.
And Wednesday night.
What did I say, Monday?
Yeah.
That's that other show we do.
Yeah.
Where we don't really get to talk about much dirt.
Yeah. It's all asphalt, man.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, glad to be here tonight. And as promised, folks, we got him on the line. He was so gracious to, of course, spend a few minutes with us tonight. Comes to us out of Malabar, Florida. And, of course, well over 200 feature wins to this gentleman's credit, driving the Goodson Farm C&B Mushrooms number 4A. Ladies and gentlemen, Friday night's winner at Ocala Speedway in the O'Reilly Auto Parts American Sprint Car Series Rebel Region, the Malabar Missile, Kenny Adams. Kenny, how are you, sir?
Great. How you doing?
Fantastic, man. Can't thank you enough for being with us. I know you'd mentioned just moments ago you're going through kind of a tough area. We're going to muddle through this, man, but most importantly, once again, you find yourself in victory lane at Ocala, and one of the neatest parts about that is the accolades that you had for that racetrack. We know there was some apprehension about how that track would hold up to these, you know, these alcohol burners, but man, they gave you a nice little house to play in.
Oh my gosh! I mean, it's just a, I mean, everybody that was there really liked it. It was even better than last time. Last time we were, you know, real pleased with it, and this time it was even faster. And it was, I don't know, it's an odd shaped racetrack, and that is, and that's what makes it so special. And then the you know, the surface was just perfect. I mean, just once you got clear turn four, you just put the sprint car on the mat and just leave the thing flat out till you get back to turn four again. I mean, that's just how fast it was. And so it was an awful lot of fun, and, you know, starting up front was a big help. But the racetrack is just great, and the people there just treat you real well. So, you know, I can't wait to go back again.
I saw a photo on Sunday morning, actually Saturday night, I think I saw the photo, in victory lane, and I don't even think you knew it happened yet, but radiator hose exploding on that thing. The photo is amazing, and you're still talking to the announcer there, but I was like, he's either not worried about that at all, or he doesn't even know what happened yet. Talk about that.
Well, luckily, you know, I got out of the car, and, you know, the announcer normally, you know, stands somewhere, and he calls you over there, and you're, so luckily he called me to the back of the car, and we're standing there talking about the win, and radiator hose blows out and it sprays water, I mean, almost all the way to the front stretch wall, and luckily we weren't standing there because I'm sure it would have been awful hot. But
no doubt.
Yeah, you know, just blew a hole in the hose. And
have you seen that photo yet?
No, I haven't. And
you are going to like it. If you go to Karnak.com, and it's KARNAC.com,
mm-hmm.
and go to the Real Racing message forum, go down a few lines and you'll see, I think it says Sprints at Ocala.
It says the shuttle was the only thing launched.
That's what it'll say, Kenny. Click on that.
And it's the second picture down.
You're going to dig that.
The photographer's got a picture of that nine car straight up and down in the air, yep, where they got tangled up on lap one coming to the green. And then he got the very next picture is a picture of when the radiator hose blew off your car. But, you know, that radiator hose blowing was the only thing that was close to you Saturday or Friday night.
I don't know. Terry Gray got up to me a couple times there, but, you know, it was it was definitely a – I mean, I saw Terry Gray's nose a couple times, but, you know, once we got clean running, we were okay. Lap traffic, you know, things got a little tight, but it was – you know, starting up front's a big help, and we just – you know, I don't know. Can't say enough about the place. About it.
The best thing about it was is you had an unbelievable class of cars that was there. I mean, you had 34 of the best sprint cars, the best 360 burning sprint cars around. I mean, to even see Terry there was a good deal. And, you know, I will agree, but in the beginning, he had to run you down. You know, I think if it hadn't been for a caution, I don't think he would have caught you. But I seen him picking his way through. I don't even remember where he started, fifth or sixth or...
Yeah, he started fifth. Yeah, it was just,
yeah.
Well, you know, when you end up with a lot of race cars like that, then the field of cars that ends up on the racetrack for the feature is a pretty classy field, and it, you know, it helps to keep from having too many cautions and all that type stuff. So it was a heck of a race. It was a heck of a race.
Kenny, that I believe, if I'm looking at the stats right, makes win number 8 for the season. Is that correct as far as ASCS?
Yeah, I knew it was somewhere there around 7 or 8. So
not bad at all. Kenny, it's been often said, and even recently on Karnak, the message board we just talked about, that it's clear you're a regional runner with national talent, but you've always liked to kind of, you know, hang out with the local guys and run the southern region, now with the Rebel region, of course. But it's always said that, I mean, your talent just far exceeds the divisions that you race in. Easily, you know, could have been part of the Pennsylvania posse, I mean, originally being from PA, but... you know, it's really suited your career and your style racing with a series like the ASCS.
Well, you know, I come from Pennsylvania and did all my, you know, started out sprint car racing up there and, you know, won a lot of features and some championships up there and really enjoyed it. And decided to come to Florida and get out of the cold weather and get away from racing. And that lasted about a year or so and, you know, I had to get back at it. And then, you know, I was lucky enough to get hooked up with Red Stauffer, and he showed me the ropes as far as traveling all over the country, you know, all over the Southeast, racing a different racetrack every weekend, and that's not what I was used to doing, you know. And
right.
Track, and I said, oh, you mean we have to guess at what gear we're going to put in the car? You know, because I'm used to going to the same place every weekend where you already know. And
sure.
So that was a whole new program for me, and I really enjoyed it and enjoyed the camaraderie of traveling all of these different places with all these different people, you know, with the same folks going to all these different tracks, and then everybody really helps everybody, you know, and so it's the ASCS is a real tight bunch, you know, and if a guy needs a part or something like that, we all share, and if somebody has a problem, we all jump in and help them get you know, get ready for the race. It's just like a traveling family, and, you know, something that I've just enjoyed that quite a bit.
Any aspirations ever? I mean, you're certainly good enough. I mean, your ability is definitely there. Maybe World of Outlaws?
Too old for all that stuff.
Oh, come on, man. Look at Steve Pinter. Don't make me compare you, Kenny.
No. I've been down that road. I raced with the Outlaw guys when I was in Pennsylvania. And, you know, there was probably a time in my career when that was something that I really wanted to do. And I was too busy trying to run the family business back in Pennsylvania, and so I'm just, you know, now I'm content doing what I'm doing, and every year when they come out with a new ASCS National Tour, you know, everybody's bugging me to go do it, but I'm just, you know, my boy Bryn, he's not ready to do something like that, and he's, you know, he's accomplished enough locally that he's, you know, he's needs to get a few more wins under his belt, so, you know, there's going to come a day when I retire, and he continues to race probably, but, I think we got another year or two anyway, so.
You know, Kenny, that was my next point, is the fact that, you know, your son, Bryn, you know, and all the accomplishments that he's had in such a short time in sprint car racing, you've got to take a certain bit of comfort to know that this young man followed directly into your footsteps, and, of course, you were able to develop him into the driver that he is, and, of course, we still haven't even seen the depth of his talent with so much of his career ahead of him, but you got to take some bit of comfort in that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's well-respected locally. I mean, he's, you know, won quite a few races, and he's got so much knowledge and so much ability as far as car setups and assembly. I mean, he does all the work on our cars, and so you know, he never really was interested much in it. He was around it his whole life. He was a mechanic his whole life. He never had a lot of desire to drive until he started getting close to the age of 16, and then all of a sudden they became really cool, you know. So so then he decided to want to do some racing. So
Friday night's win, which is a new thing for you for Ocala Speedway, which is a racetrack you never won at. How many different racetracks have you won at when you say you traveled around?
Oh, I have no idea. That's a good question. That's a good question. I think in 2003 we won. In 2000 we won 26 features. In 2000 and, oh, I don't know, we won 20 or 25 races every year. In 2003 we won 27. That's the most I ever won in 1 year. And, you know, I have to really look at, you know, we have some of that stuff written down. I don't know. You know, I don't know, maybe 60, 70, 80 different racetracks. I don't know. A lot.
That's pretty awesome.
Well, Kenny, as important as sponsorship is, you've been able to secure, of course, B&W Truck and Goodson Farms. You got C&B Mushroom. These guys seem to have been with you for quite a few years, man. You've obviously forged a great relationship with at least all three of them.
Yeah. I mean, B&W's trucking, he's gone through a tough time with the economy, so he probably won't be back next year. So we're hoping to replace him, and we're you just have to, you know, if you continue to win races and, you know, get the sponsors, let them get their picture taken a little bit, you know, that helps. And, you know, the most thing, the thing that sponsors really want is, you know, they want to talk to you. They want to hear how you did at the races if they're not there. And, you know, so you have to stay friends with them and communicate with them. You can't just, you know, take their money and just leave them hang out there. So that's how I continue to keep good relationships with them. I mean, and hopefully the young kids can take heed to that, you know.
Yeah, I think that's some great advice right there. They simply just want to be involved, not only in a monetary capacity to help you continue, you know, your racing program, but they want to know what's happening. They want to perhaps be a part of it and maybe sometimes give you some advice. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. They want to feel like they have a, you know, they have a say. They're a part of it. And, you know, trust me, if they weren't around, you know, we wouldn't be around. So just
true. That is so true.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, of course, we got Sport Allen. We're going to talk to him. Of course, Saturday night's feature winner to East Bay. What happened up there, Kenny? I know you wanted to.
Oh man, he had a fairy tale night. I mean, a guy calls him at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and says, "Hey, you drive my race car?" And he says, "Yes." And he shows up at the racetrack and goes out there and wins the race. You know, it don't get much more fairy tale than that. So he had a great night. We didn't. You know, we started fourth row, and about the second lap, I got in under Danny Martin too hard, just drove in there too deep and trying to pass him and had to turn the car too hard to keep from running over him and spun myself out and got clobbered, you know, all my fault, and tore the car up a little bit and restarted in the rear and got back to eighth, and, you know, that's the best we could do. Track laid rubber. They didn't put a lot of water on the track because they were afraid it was going to rain, and
right.
So kind of got one lane around the bottom, but that was a great night for sport. It really was. And, you know, that's what racing's all about.
The season's over for the ASCS. And, I mean, I didn't really look and see, but where'd you end up in points?
We won the championship.
Okay.
We had a banquet on Sunday. We won the championship in the Rebel region. And we're looking forward next year. Sounds like we've got about 25 or 30 races scheduled starting out at East Bay. And we're going to have 6 or 8 races, I think, in January and February in the state of Florida. So we're excited about that.
That's going to be a pretty neat deal.
Yeah.
So that's what you're going to do, Ron? You're going to run with them full-time next year again?
You know, we're talking to some sponsors now. Right. And if that works out the way we want it to, then we'll be doing the same thing next year, yep. And then the whole season with the Rebel region and then going out and running some of the national stuff when we're, you know, when they're close, we'll run some of that. This year, you know, we went to Pennsylvania and Knoxville and a couple places and raced, you know, away from the region when they weren't running, and plan on doing the same thing next year.
Hey, we got just about a minute or so. I know your time is important as well. We can't thank you enough for spending a few minutes with us tonight. But, you know, you have always been looked at as somewhat of an innovator in a sprint car. You debuted this this new wing configuration. That's all we heard about. I think it was last year. Talk about that, man. I mean, the fact that how instrumental are you in the design when you guys come up with somewhat of a new package on these sprint cars?
Well, I mean, it's I think it's, you know, myself, I don't I don't get to have a whole lot of original ideas. Maybe that's just the way I was. But, you know, just talking to other people in the sport, I have a lot of contacts. I know, you know, I'm real close with a lot of people that race in the World of Outlaws and people that race in Pennsylvania. And obviously, you know, being partners with Red Stauffer for so many years that, you know, between him and I, we come up with some pretty harebrained ideas sometimes. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But, you know, it's all about, you know, trial and error and doing different things. And that's just, you know, as time progresses, there's less big things to come up with. So it takes a little bit of the fun out of it. You know, I mean, when I started racing back in the early 80s, and between now and then, there's been a lot of big major changes that, you know, were pretty revolutionary. Now it's a lot smaller changes, but they're all important, you know, nevertheless. So it's great to be part of all that.
Absolutely. You got, of course, Don Ott Power and Shaw Chassis. All that remains status quo for 2009.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been with those guys for forever. Both those guys that own them companies have been great to me. They build good equipment and they both have successful businesses, and they're going to continue that way, and hopefully we can stay with them and keep doing it.
All right, finally, Kenny, dirt versus asphalt.
Oh, no question.
That's what we want to hear on Dirt World, my man.
Asphalt, that's how you get to the racetrack, you know. That's
not, yes, sir.
I've won a lot of races on asphalt.
I know you have.
And I've enjoyed it, but it's just my definition is, you know, asphalt is scary as far as a driver from the driver's seat.
Oh, yeah.
Asphalt is scary, and dirt is thrilling. You know, it's just a lot more excitement on dirt. On the asphalt, it's, like, so precise and so exact, and if you make a mistake, boy, it really hurts, and it tears up a lot of stuff. And dirt's a little more forgiving, and you can run into the corner and hit the high side or the low side and come out the other side, pass two or three cars in one corner if things go good, you know. That's not going to happen on asphalt. So it's just a little more exciting for the fans, a little more exciting for the driver. And so I don't know. It's just my preference, and that's what I was born and raised on. So I know everybody's got an opinion, but that's mine.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the 2008 American Sprint Car Series Rebel Region Champion. Coming to us out of Malabar, Florida, Kenny Adams. We really appreciate you taking a few minutes with us. It's been a pleasure, man.
Sure thing. Say hi to sport for me.
Got it, buddy. Thanks, Kenny.
All right. See you, bye.
As always, Kenny Adams with a great insight to his racing operation for over 26 years and over 200 wins to his credit. The guy, I mean, what can you say, man? He stands alone.
We used to see this guy every October for Oktoberfest at Volusia. He used to come down with the USCS with the Pete Walton bunch, and he was always, when you saw him roll out on the track, you knew he was going to be one of the ones to beat, and he still is, it sounds like. I mean, I don't really keep up with me and you both. We don't really keep up with the sprint car side, but I had thought that somebody said that he had Friday night that he pretty much had the championship locked up, or he could lock it up Saturday or whatever happened, but I didn't really pay too much attention to it, but you know, congratulations to Kenny Adams on a big win Friday night and picking up a championship.
Absolutely. With that, we're going to step back, and our next driver will be on the line. Of course, we will go to the big wide bodies and talk to Darrell Padgett. We'll be right back with more Dirt World.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
You're a star.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
Well, that's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Billy, I wish you put some dirt on something. I don't care what. Just do something for a change. Thank you. This is Doughboy Williams. You're listening to Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid on Dirt World on Real Racing USA. Billy, please put dirt on something and get off your butt and do something. Billy.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
This is Real Racing USA, and you're listening to Dirt World with Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid.
Thank you so much, Jack Smith, and welcome back, everybody, to Dirt World right here on DirtWorldRacing.com and RealRacingUSA.com with Billy the Kid on a Wednesday night. I'm trying to wake him up over here, folks. You got to help me. I am Joe Dirt, and as promised, on the line with us tonight, checking in from Jacksonville, Florida, drives the number 46 Wells Brothers Farms Ford. In, of course, the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. He's raced with us at Volusia Speedway Park. Darrell Padgett has certainly done his time in the National Late Model Sportsman Series out of Georgia. And tonight, he is with us on Dirt World. Darrell, how are you, young man?
Doing good, Joe. How are you?
Fantastic, man. Really appreciate you taking a few minutes with us tonight.
Darrell Padgett.
Help me wake this man up.
Darrell Padgett, slow that thing down. I can't see the sponsors. What the hell were you thinking Saturday, son?
It was time to go, man.
It was time to go. This is what you just, they dropped the green and you just took off.
Yeah, hey, we had a real good race car Saturday night, and there was, you kind of wondering if we were going to get a race there for a little bit, and everything turned out pretty good, and it was just one of those nights where everything kind of fell in place, and we're still smiling this week.
I guess you are. That was a big win Saturday night, man. I was up there, and they did get started a little bit late, and that's one of the things that we were going to talk about a little bit. We might as well talk about it now, but I just don't understand how it's 8:45, you get started, yeah, you're still going. I understand the racetrack needs a little bit more work, so that you guys got two rounds of practice, but you take the qualifying, they put some other stuff in features only. They took two intermissions. I just didn't understand that deal whatsoever. You know, they took a little time right before your feature rolled out and dumped $200 worth of quarters on the front straightaway to give out to the kids, And I understand you got to give them out, but you know what you do? You only had 18 or 19 kids. You line them all up, and you split up the $200 amongst them and fill their pockets and have a good night. You know what I mean? But sitting there with the moisture and the humidity, with the moisture sitting in the track, did it make a difference for you?
Yeah, we tend to like a tacky track, and especially up there at Brunswick. So I know the weather and the wind and the cold weather probably bothered the fans a lot more than it bothered us with us running around working on the race car and everything, but. When we drove up there and seen the rain and that we were going to have a wet, tacky surface, it put a smile on our face.
Yeah, I was cold. I ain't saying no lies. I was freezing. When you took the checkered flag, I promise you, you took the checkered flag in fourth place. I hadn't crossed the line yet. I was at the car.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Hey,
it was cold.
Hey, that's how far ahead you was there, knucklehead.
Yeah, we were... Hey, if it wasn't for the lap traffic there, we could have probably done a little bit better.
You like that racetrack up there, don't you?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. But we run there a lot, but we also tend to run the same type of stuff down at Volusia and have some success there too. So
no doubt,
Volusia and Brunswick, we like stepping into both of those places.
Big old wide sweeping racetracks, man, where you can just stand on it.
I was talking to Ray Miller yesterday, and he said that he thinks that's your first National Late Model Sportsman win. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It is. We've come close on a couple of other occasions, but that's the first time that we've been able to close a deal, which is what counts. You know, we've had big leads with a lap or two to go and lose a motor. Had some other stuff happen, but, you know, of course, that's racing. But this was the first time we were able to close the deal, and we're real proud of that.
Makes you feel good, don't it, bud?
Yeah, it was a big win for our team. There's no doubt about it, and we're hoping to We're going to come see you guys at Volusia Saturday night and again on December the 12th and try to get some momentum going into 2009.
Daryl, talk about the relationship you have with Mr. Wells. I mean, this has just been a Cinderella story right here, man. I mean, you, of course, had some other opportunities early on in your career and then finally hooking up with Mr. Wells. Talk about this relationship, man, how this all developed.
Well, I tell you, I'm really blessed. The good Lord's blessed us with this great situation here. I think it was back in April, you know, we didn't have anything going at the beginning of the year. Me and you, Joe, we talked about that in Victory Lane at Volusia.
Absolutely.
And Merle Mixon, who I used to drive for back in 05 and 06, he kind of hooked us up, and he was a mutual friend of both of ours. And I tell you, it's just been perfect. We communicate really well. Mr. Wells is he's just one of the best guys you could ever want to drive for. I tell you, as long as he wants me in that race car, that's where I'll be at. I can tell you that.
You know, I don't want to sound like being crazy here, but I will tell you something. Mr. Wells won the first late model race at Golden Isles this year with Shane Williams.
Yeah,
he was
helping
Shane, and he also won the last one this year at Golden
Isles. Yeah, he did.
So, kind of the bookends of that whole deal.
Daryl Padgett is exactly right. Over the last few years, I met Mr. Wells at Putnam County Speedway when I was up there. He brought his kid out. They had a mini stock car, and he's been nothing but nice and nothing. He's been unbelievable. The way he handles himself at the racetrack and the way, you know, he presents himself around people. He is, as Daryl said, he's a class act. You see what I'm saying?
Daryl, you took Stanton Mills' ride. What was
Stan had another car now. They did have another
that
car.
That wasn't really the history there is Stanton was in the limited class.
L46 and
they,
sportsman.
Yeah, they were running some limited sportsman stuff.
Okay.
And Mr. Wells wanted to get into the late model division, but he wasn't sure that Stanton was ready to progress yet, and then that's where I stepped in. And then, things went good right off the bat there at Volusia, the first night we ever ran together. We had a feature win down there, which we've run about a dozen times now, and we got two wins, I think, out of 11 races and about six top fives. So we've laid the groundwork, I think, for what can build on.
You could see it from – not even, it wasn't even midway, it was probably three, four, five races in, you could see everything was clicking around. You see the back of the car now, it says Ford by Corey. You got yourself a Corey motor in there, and that thing is awesome. The last time the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series was at Brunswick, guess who said fast time? Daryl Padgett. This time, Ray Miller's at Golden Isles, it's the fast time, Daryl Padgett. You see it?
We that's about our fifth pole, I think, up at Brunswick. We do really well up there, and this is the first time I've been able to close it out in a feature. But I do want to speak highly of those Ford engines. Ford power was awesome the other night. And when we went back with the United Dirt Late Model, it was a 362 the time before. This time it was a series motor.
Right. This ain't the first time you won there. I see your picture up in the concession stand there. You've won feature races at Golden Isles before, haven't you?
Yeah, it was our first national late model win. We've won some regular features there, two or three. So this is about our third or fourth time in Victory Lane at Brunswick. So,
Daryl, is it true they call you the engineer?
They've called me that. I've got my real profession. I am employed by a railroad, fixing to be on 12 years now. So,
right.
Harry Caton kind of put that on me back in two or three years ago. So.
Daryl, the engineer Padgett.
Yeah,
I'm going to expand upon that, Daryl, if you'll let me. I'm going to work on that. I'll have something to debut for you Saturday night. Just listen up.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's still.
I think I'll listen when he's got his helmet on.
The engineer's not set in stone, but.
I'll take care of that. Now, me and Terry worked together. We coined one for old Clegg the other night at East Bay. We call him now the Sod Father.
The Sod Father?
Yeah, so I come up with some good ones, man. Just give me a couple more nights, a couple more days, I'll have you a good one.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, man.
What's your plans for 2009?
Right now, matter of fact, I just got off the phone about two nights ago with Mr. Kenny, and right now we have intentions of running the full United Dirt Late Model Series, running for the championship next year. Ken's got a really good schedule that's attractive to us for location-wise and one-day shows and paying out some good money, and then, of course, hitting regular shows at Volusia Speedway and also Brunswick.
You know,
But Mr. Wells, being a car owner and me being the driver is my plans for quite a while now. And I tell you, I just, as long as he keeps supporting us and we got this line of communication like we have going, it's man, I just look forward to what we got coming to us here.
I don't see a problem there. And Mr. Wells, I talked to him a little bit Saturday night. He's excited too about little Richard's career, you know, with the sportsman car that he's running now and the big win they picked up at Volusia the last time we ran the sportsman cars, and they're looking forward to that this Saturday. And just a smile on his face. I talked to him Monday. He called and left me a message and ordered a couple more die-cast cars. We was talking about it, and he was real excited about the win on Saturday night. So, I mean, that's a good relationship you and him have. I mean, he's real pleased with you, I know, just from talking to him. And as I said a little bit earlier, he is he's a class act himself.
Yeah, he is, and his brother Richard Wells and his nephew Little Richard, they're nothing less than a class act, just like he is. And to be around the whole bunch is a real blessing. And Little Richard's got a bright future too. If he gets the time to do it, he's gonna. I'm sure we'll see him in a late model in the near future too.
Daryl, you work with Johnny on the railroad?
No, actually, Johnny works. He works for a TTX, a contractor that does some repair work for us.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's you know, we generate our living probably a lot from the same companies, you know.
Indeed. And you're a CSX?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, good deal, man. Good.
That's right. And anyway, hey, we appreciate what you guys do, and it's always Billy works all the time, and I see he got us an extra $500 for the purse Saturday night. He told me he was going to try to get $2,500, but he got an extra
$500. he ain't working hard enough,
hey,
is he?
Hey, now you're calling me out.
We do appreciate what y'all do, man.
I got to slow down, man.
He needs to slow the hell down a little.
I got a few more weeks, and then I'm going to start relaxing. I'll be at Cochran. You going to Cochran or no?
Right now, Cochran's not on the schedule. We're going to close out 2008 with two appearances there at Volusia, and hopefully get some good top three, four, or five runs there, and to carry some momentum going into 2009. We like running there. Last time we went down there, we had some struggles. We took another race car. We were trying and tried some off the wall stuff, and really learned what not to do. So we're going to go back to our old car that we took to Brunswick last weekend and see what happens.
Well, Daryl, obviously throughout this process, you talk about learning and trials and tribulations. You must have really advanced your career and learned a lot with this new relationship as well.
Yeah, and I've had some good experience back when the time I spent over there driving for Merle Mixon and talked to him, and of course his driver Jason Fitzgerald and Ronnie Blair, their crew chief, and we got a pretty good relationship where we can learn from them. And. And Ronnie Stuckey helps us out he's out in Shreveport, Louisiana, but his knowledge is just unbelievable, and he's able to, he helped us assemble these Masterbuilt chassis, and I tell you, we just got a really good support program going for us.
I tell you what, that Ronnie Blair is pretty awesome himself. He's pretty good when it comes to tuning one of these things and getting him to go down the straightaway and around the corner. He's pretty good.
Yeah, and I got to put a call out to my family and my wife and my little boy, and my daddy and mom has been there with me right along the way since we started racing go-karts when I was about nine. And my crew, Daniel Noe and Jimmy Walden and Larry Roden, they're, you know, they give up their time during the week to come over here and work on my race car. And Mr. Wells appreciates it, and certainly I do too.
And that is awesome. Daryl, I know you got a good shot Saturday night. I really do.
Well, we're going to come down there. I heard, I talked to Richard Ferry on the phone a night or two ago, and he's coming, and of course, I'm sure we'll have to deal with David Clegg and a lot of the other local guys there. But we're looking forward to it. It's when that place gets right down there, man, you can run bottom to top, and there ain't no place that's any better as far as passing. You know, we won down there, and I think it was April we won, and actually was back in 17th one time, was able to come back and win. It just slicked off from bottom to top, and hey, it's just a great place to race.
I'm glad you speak so highly of it, man. Daryl Padgett, always a pleasure, man, and really appreciate you having you on. And tell you what, with Billy's permission, we're going to make you a regular part of Dirt World, man. Try to check in with you at least once a month.
We ain't got time for him. We're too busy. He goes too fast. We can't read the spots on his car.
Man.
Hey, speaking of his car is one of the ones on the diecast world.
I didn't.
Yeah, well, we got some of those going.
He's on there.
All right, well, Billy, get us some more money to win here. get those first raise, and Joe, work on that name for me and come see
me. Yes, sir, I will do it, Mr. Padgett. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
All right,
thanks, man. Good job.
All right. All right, bye-bye.
Padgett, driver of the number 46 Wells Brothers Farm Ford, the Byron Corey powered Ford plant, and picking up that big win Saturday night. And Billy, I guess the way you talk, it was just pretty much over before it started.
They dropped the green. He led all 40 laps, and don't get me wrong, that's how you want to do it. He took off. Never really was challenged. One time, I think, they got in lap cars, and it might have been challenged then, but it was about 10 to go. They ran 20 green flag laps before they had the first caution, so it kind of bunched them back up. But they got to lap, I think, 25, 27, somewhere in there. They had another caution, about 13 to go. And I tell you what, when they dropped the green that time, he just drove all from them. You know, but stepping back for a second.
Step back.
This was a pretty good match made here between him, between Darrell Padgett and Mr. Wells. I mean, they're really two really great guys, and they have Padgett's one of the better drivers. He's one of the better personalities. He's a great guy, and it fits a lot right along there with what he has, you know, with the Wells family. And like I said before, they helped out Shane in the beginning, and Shane won the first National 8 Mile Sportsman race at the beginning of the year at Golden Isles, and to pick up the win Saturday night. I know Padgett was excited. I wish I could have stuck around and seen it, but I want to wish him the best of luck this week and whatever he does in the future. But a great match made right there.
Absolutely. Well, you guys just stick around, because when we come back, it's the two-time champion of East Bay Raceway Park, Sport Allen, on Dirt World right after this.
This is Locomotive Johnny Collins. You listen to Billy the Kid and Joe Dirt on Dirt World.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play coach. Apparently, those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker!
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud!
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting, because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
This is David Clegg out of Bunnell, listening to Dirt World with Joe Dirt and Billy the Kid.
No matter what, get out and see some dirt racing. Get some dirt on your face.
Get some dirt on your dog.
Yeah, dirt on your dog.
Absolutely. So with Billy the Kid, my name is Joe Dirt. Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com.
It's time to get back to the action with Joe Dirt, Billy the Kid. This is Dirt World.
Welcome back to Dirt World on RealRacingUSA.com. As always, every Wednesday night here to bring you the talent-packed program that you've come to expect each and every Wednesday night with my good friend Billy the Kid, whose eyes are closing slowly. I am Joe Dirt, and we are certainly glad you're back with us on Dirt World. As promised on the line with us, Saturday night's feature winner in the O'Reilly American Sprint Car Series Rebel Region event at East Bay Raceway Park, somewhat of a Cinderella story in its own right tonight, and we'll certainly talk to him about that. From St. Petersburg, Florida, Sport Allen. Sport, thanks for being with us, my man.
Definitely. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate it. We talked to Kenny Adams, and before we go any further,
he wanted
Kenny,
to tell you he said hello.
He wants to say hello, and congratulations to you, Sport.
Good deal. Kenny's a class act, man.
Right from the Malabar Missile, man. He really spoke highly about you, and certainly the way this deal developed on Saturday afternoon, man. This is really a Cinderella story. What the heck happened?
This is pretty cool, man. This could, you know, this is probably never happen to me again, man. I hope it does, but it probably never will. Just normal Saturday, man. I haven't been racing much. I've kind of been out of the scene for a while.
Right.
And Saturday afternoon, I'm mowing my grass, and a buddy of mine calls, Randy Burnett, from over in the Mayor Gibson's in there. And he said that Robbie Smith had gotten sick since Friday night from Ocala, and that his partner, Jay Hancock, needed somebody to drive the car. And my name came to the top of the list, and if I was available the quickest, because I was the closest, actually.
Yeah.
I went over and jumped in the seat, man. I'm not too far from their shop where they were keeping it for the weekend there, and I jumped in the seat. It's usable. It don't fit the best, but it's usable. And that was about 3:30 in the afternoon. And half the cars were probably already there sitting in the pits, and I'm freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
So I told them it'll work, you know, help. They pushed it in the trailer. I ran home and tried to find my helmet bag buried in the closet, and made sure I had some tear-offs that fit it and stuff, and I met them at the pit gate.
Man, how cool is that?
I ain't going to tell you no lies. They called me, but I told them to call you because I was in Georgia.
Hey, did you finish mowing the lawn on Sunday, sport?
No, heck, I couldn't hardly hold my head up. I'm so out of shape, I couldn't hardly hold my head up, man.
I'll bet. Well, sport, I mean, they certainly chose the right guy, and not only the fact that you live close by there, but, I mean, you're a two-time East Bay Raceway Park champion, king of the 360s. I mean, your name came up because you pretty much own that racetrack, and Saturday was no difference, man. I mean, how was it getting in that race car, being not as comfortable as you'd probably like if you owned the race car, of course, drove it all the time, and to be able to win like that, man, everything just came together.
It's unbelievable, man. I mean, you know, anybody who knows me knows how picky I am, too, about the car, and I go over it 100 times, and I just, you know, so I'm just going to jump in this thing and see what happens, man. And their mechanic, Wesley Smith, he had that thing, I mean, ready to go. It was spotless. It's a beautiful piece. I mean, I was honored to jump in the seat of that thing. And actually, we had some problems. We went out for practice. The fuel pump quit. So I ran down in the corner, and the thing shut off. And actually, Kenny Adams got in the back of me and turned me around. So I never got really to make a whole lap of practice. So my first practice was actually the heat race.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so but we just tuned on it from there. I ran second in the heat, and we just tuned on it from there, and we didn't change a whole lot. They already had it pretty close, and I tell you what, it's one of the best driving cars I ever had the honor driving.
Before Saturday, when was the last time you sat in a race car?
March. It's been March. I mean, it hadn't been that long, but long enough, you know, and I've been jumping from previews from that, like kind of car to car, never really had a home for the past few years, so. I'm honored, man. I'm stoked about this. I can't believe it happened, and you know, hopefully something good will come from this.
And sport, you know, just kind of looking at some history of you, of course, we all know about you. We've been around Florida all of our lives as well. And, you know, you talk Sport Allen, you talk sprint cars in East Bay. But you actually drove for Guy Webb not too long ago, the number 51 car.
Yeah, that was to be a deal to try to go for the All-Star Rookie of the Year thing.
Back in 03, yeah.
Yeah, and it just didn't work out. I mean, we both had maybe different expectations of each other and some things, and it just didn't work. And we parted ways actually as friends, and then I kept my job at UPS and went ahead and just went full-time there instead of going full-time racing.
Yeah. Well, you know, Guy Webb, obviously, you know, owner of the O'Reilly All-Star Circuit of Champions, now picking up a late model series. You know, he's been kind of at the forefront of the news here locally lately, you know, scheduling a race at Ocala. Of course, we're looking for him to come in for the Dirt Car Nationals at Volusia, but it's just kind of interesting, man. I never knew that. How long did you stay with him? Did you do the full season in 03 or just a couple races?
Actually, we never made it all the way even through the Florida Speed Weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was nobody was mad at anybody or nothing.
Sure.
It just wasn't going well. I wasn't used to those kind of cars and jumping up to a 410 motor. And
oh, yeah.
Just all kinds of things. It's probably best I don't want to tear up no more stuff. We probably should find a 410 guy.
That's a good point you make there, man, the 410 versus the 360. Some people on the outside will sit there and tell you that there's really no difference, you know, and they're looking at a stopwatch, and, well, maybe there isn't a whole lot, but, buddy, behind the in the cockpit, strapped into the office, there's obviously just wholesale differences.
Oh, it's unbelievably different. I mean, you go about setting up the car completely different, and just there's so many odd things, and they run open tire compounds and things I'd never really been exposed to, and it was kind of too much to try to grab in just a few nights. And then I got to thinking, well, if I can't get the hang of this at the tracks I'm used to running, Volusia and East Bay, I sure don't need to go on the road places I've never been. This thing will just wind up being in a wheelbarrow every night, you know. So,
no doubt.
You know. Talked about UPS. We know you worked for UPS full-time, and you talked about that deal didn't work out, and you went back to UPS. But I want to say this for Jack Smith. A guy named Bernie Parmalee played a running back for the Miami Dolphins. He worked for UPS. That's where they got him from. He had a successful season. Then he went back to UPS when it was over.
See, Billy's throwing that football stuff in here.
You missed it. You missed this, Sport, because early in the show, Jack said we need to talk about football because I was about to fall asleep. But, you know, you take off from March till Saturday. You get in a car that you're not used to. You go to this guy's shop. You get in, and like you said, it'll work. I guarantee you when you got out Saturday night, you had a huge smile on your face.
Oh, it was absolutely genuine, man. I mean, I could not believe this had happened this way in just a matter of a couple hours. I mean, I wasn't even planning on going to watch. Oh, he was pretty thrilled, man. I mean,
had they won before or no?
Him and Robbie have won some races together and done actually very well. You know, it's just I don't know, they just haven't been racing much lately. Robbie's been running his business and hasn't really been able to get away as much, so their schedule's been cut way down and. You know, I hope he's feeling better. I haven't actually had the chance to give him a shout and call. I hope he's feeling better and things are going well. I mean, he kind of put me in an odd spot.
Yeah. You know, and, worked out.
You think?
And then, yeah, and, you know, we got a lucky draw and started in the front row.
This guy's worried about his gig now.
An odd spot. Is that what you call victory lane, an odd spot?
Hey, Sport, I mean, how instrumental was the fact that, you know, all of your success at East Bay? I mean, everything, all the components had to come together here, but obviously your knowledge of that racetrack and what to do when it slicks over came into play, man.
It's a little. Yeah, I'm not going to pat myself on the back. Actually, a little. These guys had this car pretty darn close, man, and we actually agreed on just changing a couple shocks and moving the wheels around. That's it. We didn't change any torsion bars, tire pressures, nothing. And we're actually doing stuff we did there probably 10 years ago. We're kind of reverting back to some of the older setup kind of things we used to do, and that's where the car was. And it was just a matter of being calm. And actually, I screwed up a couple times and got sloppy and smacked the front straight away with the right rear and just had to chill out and just race the car, man. You know, we got to finish this thing with tires, and we got 25 laps to get in the books here. Let's, you know, get on the wheel here. And then once I got my concentration back, I wasn't frustrated. We smoothed out and started going again and racing pretty good. And that's right about the time I was battling my old rival Lasker.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, man, but I'm glad you did. You guys were good little boys. Gene didn't. Everybody got along pretty good.
I was actually in shock, man. I'll have to give the guy credit. He did race me clean. He didn't chop me off or do anything that Gene would normally do. So he ran me clean, and so I passed him back clean, and you know, the rest is history.
Yeah, Gene, I'll tell you, man, he's something else, and. You know, now with this track association coming together for the big dirt tracks here in the state, now deciding to run a sprint car deal, I think, you know, they're going to circle the wagons, and here's Gene Lasker kind of on the outside looking in, and he's going to try to bust up the party at all four of these racetracks, you can rest assured.
Oh, yeah. The guy can drive a race car, man. You can't take nothing away from that. I just don't always agree with the decisions he makes in the race car. That's all, you know.
I hear you. Well, you guys is... a little on and off track stuff has been well publicized over the past over years. So I feel that you know we know all about it. Well, Sport, man, a big congratulations from us over here on the East Coast and Dirt World, and man, it's really been a pleasure having you on tonight. I got to say that perhaps one of the best interviews we had tonight and throughout the entire history of Dirt World. Sport, it was really a pleasure talking to you, man.
Thank you so much, and guys, I'd love to come on anytime. It's a pleasure being on.
Really appreciate it, Sport. Before you go. This has got to kind of rekindle something for you. Are you going through the classifieds and looking for somebody looking for a driver?
Actually, you know, I don't know where I stand. I think maybe I'm back on semi-retired status. I honestly don't know.
Not fully retired?
Yeah, hired gun, no doubt about it. Sport, congratulations, man, and whatever you do, let us know what's happening, and we look forward to, you know, promoting you as much as we can right here on Dirt World, my man.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, have a good evening.
All right, Sport Allen.
Man, that's awesome. You don't race a car from March.
That was a great interview.
You get in the car, they call you that afternoon at 3:30. You get in the car, you win the race. I mean, don't get me wrong. He said he started up front, but you can't. I mean, this guy's fresh off of nothing, bud.
Yeah, but this guy.
Yeah, hang on a second. He's fresh off of nothing. He's free game here.
You're right.
It don't matter if he's on the front row or if he's in the middle row. You should be driving around this guy like he's parked.
His hot laps were the heat race.
Yeah, the fuel pump broke.
Sure.
I mean... hey, hold on here, guys.
might have made a good decision. Mr. Wright made a real good
decision.
Sport Allen.
Not a good decision. That's a great decision. They found himself in victory lane. Regardless, like sports said, we start up front. It doesn't matter where you started. This guy's rusty. He hasn't raced since March.
Man, that's unbelievable.
That tells you, he get in there and he outrun, he probably outrun, they probably had the same amount we had, 34. He beat 34 of the best around the South. You know, Kenny Adams was down there. I mean, even outrun Gene Lasker at East Bay is pretty damn good, Joe.
Sure. Hey, let me give you some information on the ASCS Sprint Cars Rebel Region wins. Of course, Kenny Adams, they're showing him with two. I had him at 8 wins on the actual ASCS site.
Yeah.
Matt Tiffany has picked up 2 wins. Danny Martin Jr., the Hammer, is 2. Brent Gaunt, Michael Miller, Don Young, Matt Linder, Tyler Godwin, and Sport Allen all with 1 final points. Of course, that's Kenny Adams. Matt Tiffany, by less than 100 points, back in the second spot almost to that championship.
Matt Tiffany.
Out of DeLand, Florida.
Matt Tiffany's been on our Monday night show. We actually had him in the studio, I believe, didn't we?
Yeah,
on our Monday night show.
Sure
Matt
did.
Tiffany had the race won at Ocala the first time they were there, and I'll mention it one more time, had a rat rear flat and hit the fence. But I tell you, he had them covered. How many wins do you have this year, Matt Tiffany?
Matt has been able to pick up 2 wins, actually.
That's pretty good for Matt Tiffany.
Not bad. Third in the points was Brent Gaughan, and it's Samantha Taylor. She was able to lock down the 4th position. Gavin Thomas, a great kid right there to keep your eye on, was 5th. And it's Red Stauffer, 6th. Tyler Godwin, Michael Miller, Danny Martin Jr., and Matt Kurtz, the top 10 in the ASCS Rebel Region.
I thought I was like 8th in points.
No, you're not 8th.
You know, I got here tonight. Joe had a big wing on the roof of the house.
Yes, I
did. Because we usually don't do the wing version. We usually do the big bodies. And
that's right.
I get here, and Joe's got a big sprint car wing on top of the house.
Yeah, man. I'm going to need you to get up here and take that damage.
What's the world coming to? We're big body guys, Joe.
Listen, now, first of all, we're dirt, okay? And the ASCS is
why are you
dirt.
Yelling at me no, in front of all these people, Joe? We tired of that.
Hey, this was a great program.
This was a great program. We had a great show, and to have Kenny Adams, who was Friday night's winner, to have a big body Darrell Padgett on with us, who was Saturday night winner, we could have packed some more. I'll be honest with you, we almost had Rick Eckerd. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I did call Rick Eckerd, left him a voicemail. Scrub is actually getting ready to go on
big
a cruise.
News. Yeah, big news big for news Rick Eckerd.
And I guess we wanted Rick to break it, but Rick Eckerd struggled in the World of Outlaws late models this year. He really did, and he has chosen to run for the 2009 World of Outlaws Championship in none other than a Blomqvist race car. So he is moving out of the Ray Vest Rocket, and he's moving over to, well, he actually moved out of the Rocket this season. He's been in a Masters build all year.
He's in a Masters build. I think he went to the Billy Moyer group for a little bit.
Yeah, went to the Victory Circle, and now finally going to be part of the Tennessee team, if you will, Blomqvist inviting him over to try one of those. So that is huge news right there out of York, Pennsylvania, Rick Eckerd.
Rick Eckerd has been down a little bit. I remember one year he ran off like 8 top fives in a row or something, and he got hot and won like 4 out of 6. And Rick Eckerd is still a very good race car driver. I think sometimes it's kind of like Don Shula. Sometimes the game passes you by. And I'm not saying that it's passed him by. I just think you
need to make a change.
Yes, you make a change, and don't get me wrong, if you're running good, if you're doing good with this wildcat offense you got, you keep running it until they catch on, and when they catch on, you got to do something different. And I think that's what Rick Eckert's looking to do. I think Rick Eckert's tired of struggling for the last couple of years. This is what he said. He says, okay, now Lanigan's won himself a championship. Steve Francis won himself a championship. Billy Moyer won himself a championship. And Tim McCready won himself a championship, not in no particular order, but Rick Eckerd's probably good enough to win that championship himself.
Most definitely.
He's one of the original ones left now. You see what I'm saying? He runs with them every week. Don't get me wrong. You got the Clantons. You got the Clint Smiths. Well, you go back to that original Dirty Dozen, bud. Rick Eckerd was one of them.
Yes, he was.
So
he's been a contracted driver since they started.
Yeah, he's still a good race car driver.
There's no doubt about it.
This might be a turnaround point for Rick Eckerd and his career. This might revive his career.
I just wonder who approached who. I just wonder if Rick and Ray Vest went over and said, hey.
I'm sure they probably sit down and said, hey, let's do
Scott,
this. And
can we try one?
Yeah.
They ask him politely.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. And
Mr. Blomqvist.
I'm sure Mr. Blomqvist was probably, he knows how good Rick Eckerd is.
Sure he does.
He's probably one of them ones that said, hey, this might not work out. I mean, you know, it's going to be fine.
He qualifies his drivers.
You got to buy 2 cars, bud.
We got to buy 2
cars. You got to buy 2. This ain't, and it ain't buy one, get one free, baby boy. It's buy 2.
That's right.
And the price is healthy.
Damn right it is.
But
well worth it.
You're damn right. Joe Arms. Out of Tennessee, is also getting himself a Blomqvist car. I heard that last week. My buddy
man.
Dirt Monster told me that last week. And hey, listen, if dirt racing has come a long way, we've watched it come a long way in the last 10, 15 years. We've watched the things change.
But evolve.
Still, without a doubt, these guys are listening to these older guys. I mean, you got Bloomer's got his own chassis. You got Billy Moyer's got his own chassis. You see them come from. You got Francis, who is pretty much the rocket house car.
Look
right
at the work that Dale McDowell does.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
on development.
So you got things that going on there that we don't know nothing about, but
sure
I guarantee you that there's a lot of good. You still, I mean, if you have a problem, why not ask Scott Blomquist?
That's right.
You know, and then he's taking a few of these guys underneath his wing, and be honest with you, they're getting better on their own, too.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful.
This Friday night, Ocala Speedway, last night.
This
will be the last regular season night. Double points for the late models, and what a late model battle we have between Sean Smith and Shane Williams. Friday night, Ocala Speedway, Saturday night.
Yeah, Volusia Speedway Park in action, all five divisions with the late models. Hey, and after tonight's program, Karnak and Real Racing, well, RealRacingUSA.com will replay our Darrell Lanigan, the 2008 World of Outlaws champion interview, Randy King Kong Cordy. Of course, he'll have the interview with Mike Peters, Tanya Moschel on dirt racing, and just a whole lot more. Josh Richards is also going to be featured as well. All of this after the program.
I think
tonight.
Tonight's interviews are Lanigan, Richards, and King Kong Cordy.
Absolutely.
And I think they got an interview with Don Schultz.
Yes, sir. Hey, I want to thank Cable Man for the information he sent us via dirtworldracing.com. Certainly thank Kenny Adams for his appearance tonight. Daryl Padgett being with us tonight out of Jacksonville and certainly out of St. Pete, Florida, Sport Allen. It's been a great program. We hope to see everybody.
Take the wing off the roof, dude.
We hope to see everybody.
You ain't going to hang Christmas lights on Friday night at Ocala.
And, of course, Saturday night at Volusia.
Answer the question.
Speed
Stop
Play.
Laughing. Are you going to hang lights off that wing?
Yes, I am.
I ain't coming over here.
Billy, get some dirt on your face.
Get some dirt on your dog, Friday night, Ocala.